The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Jennifer Taylor, Executive Vice President, and Mike Bierman, CEO and co-founder of a company called Caring Village. Good morning. How are you two doing?
Doing good, John. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, we're doing great. Thanks.
You know, I've done, oh my goodness gracious, 473 of these shows, and I'm in here talking about encryption and the cloud and agile software development, and you know, the real, you know, the reason there's technology is to help out human beings. I mean, the reason that we have firewalls and encryption is to protect the assets of the federal government, which are my assets because I'm a taxpayer. And so we get in situations where sometimes we get the technology and we're worried about the technology, you forget about the application. But I'll tell you what, if you are listening to Federal News Radio, and there's millions who do, you know, there are a lot of veterans in Federal News Radio. And these veterans, if you put yourself in harm's way, sooner or later, bad things are going to happen. And you get in a position where someone has to take care of you. I was listening to an interview on NPR yesterday, competing station, and they were talking about a Marine up in Brooklyn, big, strong, tough guy. He ran into some problems serving, and he's in a wheelchair now, and his mom and his wife are taking care of him. And they had to raise funds informally in order to get specialized wheelchair and help for him. But it's a situation I think everyone can count. Sooner or later, people can encounter it. And so the question we're going to answer today is, well, geez, are there technology solutions out there that can help me give care to people who may or may not need it? And I thought it's an important topic. And if you want to have more information, you can go to caringvillage.com. I'm going to shut up for a few minutes, and I'll introduce my guests, let them talk about a little bit of the background. And Jennifer, just start first about your background and tell us about Caring Village, please.
Sure. So I have been working for the last 25 years in strategic planning, marketing, and sales. And I kind of fell into the topic of caregiving because I worked for the last 10 years at AARP, where I was also leading the business development activities, talking to potential partners, negotiating relationships. But I also worked on the caregiving strategy team. And what that enabled me to do was really understand the landscape for how caregivers are, what they're facing every day. And let me tell you, you know, the toll is high for caregivers. We've got over 40 million unpaid caregivers in our country.
Slow down. 40 million unpaid caregivers. Maybe some are listening now. Maybe some are working for the federal government, have to leave at 2 o'clock to go home and take care of someone. And can technology help them? That's the
they
issue
sure
today.
Can. And John, the other thing is, of that number, 5.5 million are caring for a veteran. And 20% of those are post 9/11. So our veterans who have protected us in Afghanistan and Iraq.
That Marine I talked about was a young man serving after 9/11.
Yes, yes.
Michael, your background, please.
Sure. Thanks for having us again. 38 years in the IT business. So I have a pretty good foundation from the days of the mainframe all the way through all this technology. But I couldn't agree more with your opening statements, John. Technology doesn't benefit anybody unless it's put in the hands of somebody that can use it. So that's been my career. So we have the foundation from the technology side to create these products that can be used for caregivers. And so our challenge was, what does that look like? What are we going to build to help them? And you couldn't have been more accurate. You know, sometimes they need some help for a couple hours. Maybe a neighbor looks in on the family. So things like that is really why we wanted to put this in the hands of these vets and anybody that actually is the family, is the consumer that needs some care assistance. Share the care is kind of what we our motto is.
Well, let me tell you the personal story here. My wife has a brother who is in a hospital in Tulsa, Oklahoma right now, a VA hospital. And he's been there for 2 years. He has some problems. And during his stay, his wife died. During his stay, a tornado came in and hit, the tree was dropped on his house. So he's sitting there and he can't move. He can't move his legs at least. And so his problems are happening. And this guy is, you know, he wants to get up and climb up on a tree and help. And so he can't. And so, you know, any kind of device or tool that can help my brother-in-law just find out what's going on, you know, he's going to worry less. And I think he's going to heal quicker. And this is a real application of some of these tools, aren't they, Mike?
Yeah, so you couldn't be more spot on. So that is the whole idea. So the communication when you're in this situation as a caregiver or the one receiving care, just like John was explaining, you got to just know what's going on. Where do I turn for help? How do I get the help? So that's the whole concept behind the village. The family, you know, is the one that is going to be there 24/7. You might have a medical home care professional service come in for a couple hours a day, but those folks all need to be tied in, right? So we want to start from the consumer side, help the families, help the veterans who gave us so much for this country to have something that they can use to share the care and all those types of things. So that's what we built. And we're passionate about it. That's the main key.
So Jennifer, we know there's a problem there. My brother-in-law is sitting in the hospital, and a tree falls in his house. He doesn't know what's going on. And so, where does Caring come in? And tell me about the origin of the company, how long it's been around.
Absolutely. So Caring Village started about 2 years ago, and I was introduced to them about a year ago. And because of my background at AARP and really understanding the landscape of caregiving solutions that are out there, when I saw Caring Village, I said, there is nothing out there like this. This is really game changing. This is something that can help these 40 million caregivers caring for aging, their aging loved ones, people who are in need of assistance, and those 5.5 million veteran caregivers that I talked about. And what's terrific about Caring Village is this is the first of its kind dashboard and mobile app that you can carry around, this app in your hand, and it allows and enables caregivers to have a centralized calendar, get wellness updates and journal entries from that informal network of people that are caring for that person. There's a shared to-do list, because we often see family caregivers taking on so much of the responsibility on their own, and they don't always know how to ask for help, or they don't engage others to ask them for help in their informal network. So this dashboard and mobile app enables people to seek help from others. Like Mike said, share in the care. Not one person has to take this all on their own.
You know, when you think of caring for someone, maybe someone's a veteran or hurt, what if someone is 80 years old and physically capable of doing anything, but they may need assistance with financial scams? I mean, this is a way you can offer assistance, because older people can be vulnerable to slick talkers on the phone, and bad things can happen. They may not understand some of the dangers of being on the internet. You know, the biggest growth group in the Facebook now is older 65. And so, and when I was doing research, I went to caringvillage.com. I noticed you guys have articles on, like, how to talk to your parents about not getting scammed. All of a sudden, that's lightweight, but that's true too.
Right. So the other thing that Caring Village does, not only do we have our product that we make available, which is the dashboard and the mobile app, but we push out content. We publish blogs every week. We have a large social media presence, and we are talking about these key things, like you just talked about, you know, financial scams for the that are targeted towards the elderly. We want to educate people about those. Like, there was a recent, there's one that's ongoing now, a scam where phone calls are coming in, and people think it's the IRS. And they're saying, hey, call this 800 number right away. You owe taxes.
I got one of those calls.
Yep, I did too. And, you know, unfortunately, not everybody is savvy to know that it's a scam. So we wrote a blog saying that you never pay the IRS over the phone. And if the IRS has a concern about any past taxes due, they're going to contact you via the mail.
Piece of paper. Yeah,
exactly.
Piece of paper.
And so, John, we are writing content that is relevant to caregiving and taking care of our loved ones. And the other thing that we have on our website are free preparedness checklists, one on legal, estate, financial, and medical information, as well as home preparedness. And it's very important for caregivers to complete those documents and start to really get control and get organized about all the things that they need to know. It can be very overwhelming. So our whole mission as a company is to ease the experience, the ease, the role of being a family caregiver. It is, you know, one of our mottos is caregiving is tough and we make it easier. That's our whole mission.
We're going to take a break and come back, talk more about using technology to coordinate care. But I think listeners know that you may be in a family with three or four siblings, and all of a sudden, everyone dumps on Mike. Why? Because Mike's most competent. And so Mike has to wind up doing all the stuff, and the siblings get off. But all kinds of topics we can go down here. We're not going to go down that road. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Jennifer Taylor, Executive Vice President, and Mike Bierman, CEO and co-founder of Caring Village. And today we're talking about using technology and putting in work boots and helping take care of people. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Jennifer Taylor, Executive Vice President, Mike Bierman, CEO and co-founder of a company called Caring Village. What we're trying to do is take all this technology and see how it can be applied for our listeners. Many of my listeners are veterans, we know that, and we heard the statistics in the first block. Higher chance of maybe having to be taken care of if you're a veteran. If you're walking into a forward position, you can be in trouble. And what happened is there was a problem out there, and a company called Caring Village was formed a couple years back, and they've come up with some software that can solve the business problem of coordinating use. So, Mike, let's put the tech in Tech Talk and talk about the technical part of this, please.
Fantastic. So it is a platform. That's a technology term everybody's familiar with. But it really does apply in this case. So what we first saw when we started looking at this whole situation, people need to be educated, right? So you need to have some element of education, training. What does it mean for me to get a power of attorney? What's a durable power of attorney? How do I, you know, navigate the landscape, especially in the veteran community? How do I, you know, engage with the VA for the benefits, things like that.
And a lot of these veterans don't have the money to hire a lawyer. I mean, but they can get information from you folks.
Correct. Right. So we try to, you know, coordinate everything into one central location. So the first part of that platform is that education component. Then you got to pull everything together in sort of a dashboard, right? So you want, let me see everything at one glance. You know, I can quickly navigate through and see, is my mom okay today? What was the wellness check? You know, what's on my checklist that I haven't done yet? You know, so it's very usable, very easy to navigate, but this platform is built, on a responsive design. So you can, you know, use your laptop, or you can render it correctly on a mobile phone.
Something like correct.
Yeah,
so
sure.
I got a sister in Boston, a sister in LA. So if I'm using this app, it can be, different geographic areas can find out and follow along and see what's going on. So this is another advantage, because my sister in Boston might say, well, did you consider the power of attorney? And I considered that.
Absolutely. So, you know, then, you know, building on the platform, so you could use your workstation from home, but the same exact app and the data can be on your mobile phone. So it's built on the native iOS and Android platforms. So that if you are on the road, you can certainly in your scenario communicate with your sister in California and just say, yep, we got the power of attorney. And guess what? We also built in secure messaging, right? So for people in the village, you could have everybody get broadcast the same message to inform you as to what's going on, or you can have a one-on-one conversation securely. Everything is built, you know, on the HIPAA standards. So we encrypt everything in REST, what's called in the database, and in transit. So again, as a technology company with over 20 years of doing this, we had that capability to build that kind of stuff into the
Well, product. Jennifer, I'm going to make a sexist statement so you can storm out of here, but I'm going to make it anyway.
Okay.
So the numbers are obvious. 117 million Americans may need some kind of care. Okay, we know that. 45 million are family caregivers, and 5 million are paid. Well, I would guess out of that 40 million, a great percentage of them are going to be women. A lot of this is dumped
on
women. And just look at the story. The Marines taking care of us. And so what happens, I just see this disproportionate burden that the women have to share in all this. And guess, you know, this may be a sexist, but I think it's true. And I think if this tool can help women, well, let's go ahead and use it. I mean, why not?
So, John, that is a great observation. And it's one of the first things that I talked about when I joined the team. And Mike can remember that. I said, we've got to define our persona. And we talk about her. We have two that we talk about frequently. One is stressed out Sally. She's managing her younger family. She's caring for a loved one. It may be an aging parent. It may be her husband who's a veteran. And I know people who are experiencing this. We have met veteran caregivers, and they have validated what we're doing. And absolutely, these women, now not all caregivers are women, but the majority of them are. The toll that it takes on them is quite serious. They are trying to balance their own work life. They're managing their families. They sometimes can't take promotions. Sometimes they have to quit their jobs.
Sometimes they sit in the train and they have to get a message because they're not time to manage. They have to do it on the way to work.
And so what we like to say is that, and what we're very proud of, is that the Caring Village app in dashboard allows you to get that at-a-glance view of the status of your loved one, no matter where you are. So if I'm on the metro and I'm coming to work and somebody just saw my loved one, they can send me a wellness update. I'm going to get real-time notifications from anyone who is with my loved one who is receiving care. And it's going to bring me a great deal of peace of mind. The other thing that it's going to do is improve communication and coordination with that informal network. So the other persona that we have is Faraway Farah, we've named her. And that's the sister that lives four states away from stressed out Sally, who lives down the street from
what I said earlier,
the care, the person who, the recipient of care. And so what happens is sometimes, and I know a lot of people on our team have experienced this in the caregiving situation where relationships become strained. So at the core of minimizing that something we're trying to solve with Caring Village. If there's increased communication, if it's frequent throughout the day, if it's little snacks, little updates, then that person who's far away, that sister far away, is also feeling like she's being informed and that she's part of the caring experience. The other thing I'll just close with too here is that one of the features in the Caring Village app is our to-do list. And this is a place where action items that need to be done, and they can be things that don't require being face-to-face with the recipient of care. Bills may need to be paid. Taxes may need to be filed. Paperwork may need to be done. Those are things that people who are not in the local area can help and complete, and it takes some of the burden off the main caregiver.
You know, Mike, I'm thinking back of HIPAA and standards, and a few years back, my mom was on a respirator, and what happened would be I would get an email or a telephone call 2 days after some big thing happened. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what was going on. And if you convey medical information via email, you have to be very careful about some of these things. And the whole idea of a messaging system that's compliant with HIPAA standards means I can communicate with you and tell you something about your brother's condition, and not have to worry about conveying sensitive information on the internet. That's a great aspect of your product.
Yeah, it definitely is. And so the example you just gave, some of that direct communication amongst families, consumers, doesn't really need to follow the HIPAA standards. It's only when you engage with medical professional organizations, but we realized we were going to have to do that. So we went down that road. But, you know, the OCR, HHS, Office of Civil Rights, has tried over and over to make this a little more convenient for moving information around. So there's a lot of things, as long as you follow that guidance, and we had some consultants come in that we paid some money to and things like that. We are definitely now on the track to, you know, being fully HIPAA compliant.
Because there are free tools that are out there that you can exchange information. Wunderlist is one. And yep. The problem is that I can't communicate with a doctor about information on Wunderlist. And it may be great for scheduling a party or doing something, but it's a lightweight consumer. I'll just use that. Well, just be careful about using that because the doctor may not be able to.
Sure. And so, you know, that's a good add-in to the Village concept again. So you will have doctors communicating, but again, it's over secure messaging channels. So again, in the Village, It's role-based, so you have, you know, an administrator, family, inner circle people, but then you also have neighbors, you know. So doctor communication is probably going to be with the family member that's in charge of the village, caring for their loved one. So that is secure, and it's one-on-one. So not everybody has to be involved with that situation. So we have definitely thought about, you know, the designation of who you are and what role you're going to play in the village.
So, Mike, can I go to caringvillage.com and test drive this thing?
You sure can. So we have a free 30-day trial. You can go ahead, put it through the paces. Please, you know, listen to my video. It'll give you a little bit of background on why this thing is there. And
the video's on YouTube, in case you want to. You can go to YouTube, type in Caring Village, and you can get a pretty good detailed background on Mike and why some of these topics are more emotional for him and maybe other people in this room as well. Let's take a little break, come back, and talk more about applying technology to help real people. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Our guests today are Jennifer Taylor, Executive Vice President, Mike Bierman, CEO and co-founder of Caring Village. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Jennifer Taylor, Executive Vice President, Mike Bierman, CEO and co-founder of a company called Caring Village. And you scratch your head going, what's this got to do with federal IT? Well, what it's got to do is many of my listeners are veterans. And guess what? You probably know someone who needs some care. Everyone sooner or later is going to take care of it. And what you have to figure out is what kind of tools can you use to make life easier? And this is an unfair burden. The burden falls on women. We talked about it earlier. And so what we have to do is we have to find a way maybe to use technology, lift this burden from women, let them have a life, let them have some time off, or at least coordinate things a little bit easier than they have in the past. There are some technical challenges inherent in this. I want to address some of these questions to Mike. So, Mike, you have an app. What is the step-by-step process? In my world, it's called being responsive. Does the app work on a phone? Does it work on a tablet? Does it work on a desktop? Or how do you go about even deciding how this thing works?
So it is responsive. So for you tech folks out there, we do agile development. So everything we do renders. We have a design team in place. We constantly look at breakpoints and things like that so it renders correctly. Then we also have, concurrently with that, we have an iOS team, the Apple and Android development team. And we try to keep the look and feel similar between all platforms, whether it's a responsive workstation or the native apps. We try to keep that very similar look and feel. But again, you can think of the challenges as long as we have the centralized database where everything is coming into, we can work with the functionality across all those platforms.
I was at your website and I saw something called the online marketplace. What the heck's that?
So, in today's web technology, everybody has to have a store of some kind. So what we decided early on was, we want to offer caregivers one platform where you can come to and get your information, learn about what you need to do. Then you can obviously track everything using the technology, the mobile technology. And then guess what? I need to buy bed rails. I need to, get a chair lift, things like that, that would assist caregivers with, one place to go. So that's building as we go forward. We just launched, recently. So we're going to, keep that going so that, it just allows folks to, to go to one spot and purchase. Yeah.
Well, why not? That sounds like a good idea. So Jennifer, I have to tell you a story about my neighbor. So my neighbor has a wonderful young daughter in college, and the mom got sick, and she dropped out of college to take care of her mom.
Wow.
Here we go. Sexist. Yeah. And this is I encourage people to go to college. But there's a situation here where, you don't have to turn up many stones to find out these stories. I could probably walk down on Massachusetts Avenue or Wisconsin Avenue and five different stories about this. So tell me more about your program. How's this been received? What kind of people use this package you have, the Caring Village dashboard?
Sure. Well, every time I talk about it, every time I demo the Caring Village app and dashboard, people really love it. There are no mobile apps and technology out there to really ease the life of a caregiver. So your neighbor's daughter, I'd love to speak with her. I'd love to show this to her, because what she can do is have this one-stop platform, this one-stop shop kind of thing, this her little command center, where she will have everything tracked for caring for her mother. And she'll be able to see and track all the calendar of events. She'll be able to tap into some of her informal network to help her. My wish would be that she could use the Caring Village app, and it could help her reclaim some of her time so she can go back to school at a minimum part-time. But we see time and time again caregivers who have to give up their jobs or have to stop going to school or stop doing some of the things that they like to do. And we want to shift that. We want to help caregivers, like I said, reclaim their time, have a better quality of life. And because if we do that, ultimately the care for the recipient of care should be also improved. If we have more hands on deck, if we have better communication, we have less conflict, we have less stress, the experience should be greatly improved.
Yeah, better coordination.
Yeah.
So, Mike, when I was single hundreds of years ago, I used to have this friend of mine. He was a single guy. He was pretty goofy. He used to do this, I called it the Scam of the Month Club. So at Christmas, December, he'd be selling Christmas trees. And then he'd be selling baseball tickets. He always had some scam going. And I thought it was kind of fun and interesting. But people who are older and maybe need care are vulnerable to these scams, aren't they?
Yes, they are. And I had a firsthand experience with this. My mother-in-law was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. So early on, and again, it's not an overnight thing for everybody that understands dementia and Alzheimer's. You don't go from perfectly sane to, you know, with trouble. But as we were going through this transitional period, my mother-in-law was very, she loved the bank. So she would go to the bank every day and she would carry around her bank statement and her Social Security card. Well, it got compromised. So lo and behold, she got cleaned out of most of her checking account and things like that. Luckily for us, we were able to, we had a very good relationship, and this is part of the village, with the bank manager. They loved her very much. So we were able to, you know, back that all up. But this kind of stuff happens to older folks. They are, as John said, they're vulnerable to these types of situations, especially if you're dealing with dementia or the parts, the transition of it.
So, Jennifer, a lot of people listen to these interviews, and what'll happen, I'll be at an event, and they'll say, well, what kind of stuff does Mike read to keep up with technology? What kind of stuff does Jennifer read to keep up with this whole idea of caring? And so I'm going to ask you the question there. There may be somebody listening and go, well, are there websites you go to learn about this, or the magazines you read, or podcasts you listen to, or how do you learn about your job?
Absolutely. I read daily. Some things that I pay attention to. There's an organization called Aging 2.0, and this is a platform and an event where technology and innovation as it relates to aging and caregiving comes forth. So I pay attention to that. I read reports and research studies that are published by the Health IT Lab. I pay attention to what AARP is reporting out on caregiving because they are very knowledgeable on this topic. And then I also follow the Aging Society of America, things like that. That is where I tend to understand what the key trends are, as well as following the emerging technologies. And there are some disruptors in the area of home care that I'm following very carefully that are coming out of California.
So, Mike, from a technical perspective, if you're more technically oriented and trying to come up with an app yourself, you may be listening to this and thinking about creating something like this. What are some of the challenges and what are some of the obstacles you had to overcome in creating this app?
So security is the biggest challenge right now with something like this, especially when you're parking your data in a cloud. It's vulnerable to attacks and things like that. So a lot of what we need to focus on is how are we going to make this secure, and what are the best ways to deliver this? You know, again, you can make everything as secure as possible, but then the performance suffers because you're doing all these checks. So there's always a balance. So that's why you have to have an engineering team devoted to this kind of stuff. And we do a lot of research and training on what makes the most sense. What's that balance look like? But it really boils down to security, I think, is the most. And then probably the second most important is the usability. It's got to be easy to use. We can't have, you know, you got to click three times to look at a chart and just to see how your mom is doing. So we get that, and that's from 38 years plus of doing this stuff. You got to get, you know, the focus on what the app is intended to do. So those two things are probably most important.
Well, Mike, let's talk about David McCullough. David McCullough has a recent book about the Wright brothers. And if you learn about it's a fascinating story. And every time he would go up in the plane, he'd have a very, very detailed checklist of what he had to look at to make sure this was tied. But this checklist can be applied to your world as well, right, Mike?
Absolutely.
So you provide checklists too.
We do. So that's one of the things. And they're actionable. So it's not just like you should think about this. We try to do things where you should do this. Like if you're faced with this situation, you're going to want to do these things, right? So you're going to call an attorney, get the power of attorney document, you know, in place. We also have what we just launched was care plans. So it's very much, it's not like, what should I do? It's, why don't you do this? All right. And they're customizable. So the village can create their care plan for themselves. Like, you know, if it's a Alzheimer's or dementia situation, it's different than cancer. So, yeah.
Let's take a break, come back, talk more about Caring Village and putting technology into work for my listeners. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Jennifer Taylor, Executive Vice President, and Mike Bierman, CEO and co-founder of Caring Village. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio is Jennifer Taylor, Executive Vice President, Mike Bierman, CEO and co-founder of Caring Village. You scratch your head going, what the heck's got to federal IT? Well, what this is, an application of information technology to make your life easier. It's pretty obvious the people listening to this radio show, a lot of them are ex-veterans, a lot of them have to take care of people because that's just the way it is. And I thought we have a good idea to bring in a company that actually puts it in work boots, and that's why we brought in the folks from CaringVillage.com right here in Arlington, Virginia, I think is where they're based. Back in March, I was in Falls Church at the Falls Church Funky Old Theater there. And there was a health IT event there, and I did a panel discussion with a bunch of smarty pants doctors, and we talked about telehealth. And I talked to someone from the VA there, and he said there were over 700,000 appointments that were completed in telehealth in the VA last year. And I said, it's hard to believe, but you know what? If you're a veteran and you're living in rural Texas, you can't get to an hospital. But if you could do it through a telephone, well, all of a sudden, everyone wins. And so this would be top of mind for me, Mike. I'm thinking about going and trying out your app. I'm going, well, what about my brother-in-law? Not in Tulsa. Tulsa's a big town. What about middle of nowhere in North Carolina? This is a problem people have, isn't it?
It absolutely is. So one of the things we did in thinking about the design of this is to build a middleware where you're going to be able to plug in these telehealth capabilities. For instance, you're going to have a lot of monitoring devices for blood pressure, glucose. It's just enormous how this is going to be. So you're going to have to be able to deal with that data and make it information in a very robust way, right? And you're going to have to do this over cellular, which you're not going to have Wi-Fi everywhere. So again, as a technology company foremost, we considered all these possibilities, and we've built it into the back end of the technology.
So looking down the road, because it may be instead of Jennifer driving her mom to the doctor, maybe the doctor says, no, all I'll have to do the next visit is I'll just check in and get some biometric readings that are going to be sent over securely. And then Jennifer can share that with her brother and sister and say, well, Papa Mike is good and his cholesterol is okay this week or something. I mean, this is all I want. Just give me a little bit of information, huh, Jennifer?
Or it sends an alert. I'll just add on to that. Or there's an alert set, like, you know, if the blood pressure hits this kind of level, then the doctor's notified or the nurse is notified or the mom is notified. But yeah, that's basically the idea.
And it does save a lot of rigmarole, dragging people here and there, and it can make physicians more effective, which I never thought that this app would make physicians more effective, but it can't it?
Yes, it sure can.
Well, every show I give a scientific 10-question test to find out if my guests are nerds or not. What I'm going to do, though, is that because there's two of you, I'm going to give just five questions. and the listeners can deduce whether or not Jennifer is a nerd or not. We're going to start with you, Jennifer. We're going to pick on you because we're mean and vicious around here.
Oh, goodness. So five, my kids are going
to
love this.
Five quick questions to find out if you're a card-carrying nerd. First question, do you have an Instagram account?
I don't. My kids won't let me have one. I actually have it. I don't use it.
Who's the boss around? Okay. How many cell phones have you bought for yourself in the last year?
Two.
Not bad. And do you have a personal Twitter feed?
I do.
Do you have a Snapchat account?
I do.
Oh, you see, much more nerdy than she looks. And finally, what kind of smartphone do you have?
I use an iOS 6.
Well, she may not be a nerd. She might think she's a nerd.
Yeah, I haven't had time to get the 7.
Okay, now toss to you, Mr. Nerd. Mike.
Oh, boy.
So do you have an Instagram account?
I do not.
Mm-hmm. Well, now we know
I am
going to
fail
is.
This test based on those questions.
Oh, so Jennifer.
But then you got to let me explain.
Now, do you have, how many cell phones have you bought for yourself in the last year?
In the last year, no, just none.
Do you have a personal Twitter feed?
I do.
Ooh.
I actually have 3 Twitter feeds.
Do you have a Snapchat account?
I do not.
And what's the most popular app on your smartphone?
It's probably my email.
Boring.
I know.
Yeah, that's pretty boring. Well, Jennifer, I'm afraid you're the one with the pocket protector and the nerdy glasses and the white socks.
Well, I try to keep up with my teenage boys.
Yeah. And this is your boys won't let you do this and let you do that. No, that's...
they won't let me on Instagram.
Yeah. You know, Mike, this used to be a sports studio, and they had this 8-ball in here. I think someone threw it and broke it. But I usually hand the 8-ball to my guests and say, okay, I'm going to put this down on the ground and tell me exactly what's going to happen in mobile device management in 5 years. What's going to happen to Microsoft in 5 years? What's going to happen to your app in 5 years and the whole idea of caregiving? Where do you see Caring Village being in 5 years? Is it going to be like via Oculus and virtual reality, or what's going to happen?
So again, it's this, we're aging as a population. So
not me.
I know, me either. But we are aging. We are living longer. So, and to be quite honest, we can't afford this. So we need to come up with some strategies to keep people at home, living longer, getting the same quality of care. So telehealth, you're going to see this skyrocket. So, and the other side of this is you're going to have consumer engagement. Patient engagement is a big buzzword, but it really matters. You know, people that are caring for their loved one need to take charge of it and then pull in the professionals as needed, right? But again, health is, it's an individual, personal thing, and so everybody should look at it that way, and technology can assist you to stay on track. That's where I see us going in about 5 years.
So, Jennifer, the question, I'm reviewing our notes, and we talked a lot of different things. There's financial information and legal information. Where do you draw the line on giving information to people who read at your site or participate? I mean, there's got to be some very carefully drawn lines on legal information, for example, or financial information. It's kind of tricky to draw that line, isn't it?
It is. So what we do is guide people on the information they need to begin to capture and where to do that. So, for example, we want to arm people so that they understand, for example, on legal and estate planning, what probate is. Some people don't even know what that word is. So we're trying to educate them on what that means, how to avoid it, and the steps to take.
So, Mike, what you're not giving is legal advice. You're giving, here's suggested best practices you may want to consider.
Exactly. Because a lot of people we find in caregiving, you don't know what you don't know. So, some people don't know what an advance directive is. But if you're thrown into a caregiving situation and all of a sudden your loved one is in a dire situation in the hospital or whatnot, they're going to ask you for one. So we want to arm people if they're in a caregiving situation to get their ducks in a row and have those documents in place.
Mike, I'm going to get a little techie here. So you talked about 38 years experience. And so the parent company for Caring Village is Segway Technologies. Is that right?
Yes.
And so Segway Technologies has been instrumental because you just don't open up an office and come up with an app. I mean, this is really tricky business. This is serious. You have to worry about maintaining the app. You got to worry about security. There's liabilities involved. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of decisions. Is it going to be an app? Is it going to be an iOS? What about changes? Are you going to maintain that? So this in and of itself is a pretty big challenge, isn't it?
Yeah, like I said earlier, this is not something that you just want to have, some offshore company. You just throw them some requirements and say, hey, I want to make some money on this. So it's a complete understanding of the technology challenges. And if you hadn't had experience in doing these types of things, you're really at a loss, I think. And then what we have in my 38 years, again, my whole driving mission is to understand why we're building this app. What is it intended to do? And ultimately, it is to help people, right? Care for loved ones. As we, you know, have this challenge ahead of us as a nation, you've got to address that. And that's, quite frankly, there was a gap there.
In January, my students will be forced to read a book called Twitter is Not a Strategy. Because Twitter is fine, and LinkedIn's fine, and Snapchat's fine, but I mean, if it doesn't accomplish a business goal, then what good is it? I mean, exactly. You know, so what? And so I think that's the whole idea behind technology. We started off the show with this, and I'm going to circle back to it, is that Twitter's fine and dandy. You know, if you work with the federal government, it doesn't mean anything for you. However, you know, if you're a journalist and you're trying to cover Fatara, well, then you could do hashtag Fatara and find out what's going on in the Fatara area. And so I think what we have here is we have not applied engineering, but maybe applied technology. Huh, Jennifer? Is that
yes,
right?
Yes.
And so what's next in type of technology and look at for your product here, Mike?
So, you know, we're constantly making changes, upgrading the product as we go, getting a lot of feedback from folks is saying, you know, how great it is. But what if, you know, so everybody that does technology knows that there's a roadmap. So on our roadmap is, you know, you're going to have document storage. We're looking at those kinds of things. So it's things, everything we're going to build into this is going to assist the caregiver. That's the ultimate goal of anything that we do. So that's the bar that has to be set for any possible inclusion into the product.
Oh, great. We have to end our interview here. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guests, Jennifer Taylor, Executive Vice President, Mike Bierman, CEO and co-founder of Caring Village. Thanks, folks.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, John.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.